Welcome to the Plotopsy Podcast here at Misanthropy Movie Blog. With each episode of the Plotopsy, I dissect a movie that is generally accepted to be a failure and try to determine just what circumstances and actions led to its demise. Today's feature is one of the most notoriously expensive movies of all time, 1995's Waterworld. Waterworld was directed by Kevin Reynolds, who also helmed such films as Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Tristan and Isolde, and 2002's incarnation of The Count of Monte Cristo. The film's screenplay was ultimately credited to two individuals, David Twohy, who provided screenplays for Critters 2, Pitch Black, and Riddick, and Peter Rader, who went on to direct a handful of episodes of The Dog Whisperer with Cesar Millan. However, apparently, the screenplay for Waterworld went through 36 different drafts and 6 different writers, which included contributions by nerd favorite Joss Whedon, who spent much of the 1990s as a script doctor, or a specialist who was brought in to attempt to salvage a bad screenplay. The plot of Waterworld is summarized on IMDb as follows. In a future where the polar ice caps have melted and Earth is almost entirely submerged, a mutated mariner fights starvation and outlaw smokers, and reluctantly helps a woman and a young girl try to find land. The cast for Waterworld includes Kevin Costner, of Dances with Wolves and Mr. Brooks, Dennis Hopper, of Super Mario Bros., Space Truckers, Speed, True Romance, Easy Rider, Blue Velvet, and countless others, Gene Triplehorn, of Basic Instinct and The Firm, and Sean Whalen of Twister and the People Under the Stairs. The cinematographer for the film was Dean Semler, who also shot 2012, The Alamo, Stealth, Last Action Hero, Super Mario Bros., The Road Warrior, and Razorback, among many others. The credited editor for Waterworld was Peter Boyle, who has cut such movies as 1408, The Hours, The Postman, and the 2011 prequel to John Carpenter's The Thing. The music for the film was provided by acclaimed film composer James Newton Howard, whose extensive list of credits includes Green Lantern, Nightcrawler, The Last Airbender, The Happening, The Dark Knight, Michael Clayton, and The Sixth Sense, among many others. Kevin Costner apparently insisted on having Kevin Reynolds direct the film in order to be involved with the production. In contrast, the studio reportedly wanted Robert Zemeckis for the director's chair. Interestingly, Reynolds ultimately walked off late into the production, specifically due to personal issues with Costner. He was quoted as saying, "Kevin Costner should only star in movies he directs. That way he can work with his favorite actor and his favorite director." At the time of the movie's filming, Waterworld was the most expensive movie ever produced. Though the record was broken only a few years later by Titanic, the cost of the film created a bit of a media frenzy. The ever-inflating production budget earned the film the nicknames of Kevin's Gate and Fish Tar by journalists and speculators, references to the immense flops Heaven's Gate and Ishtar. One of the most costly aspects of the film was its primary set, a massive floating rig constructed for the shooting in Hawaii. It apparently took up all of the available steel on the islands, and then some. Despite its meticulous and expensive design, there were amazingly no bathrooms on the massive set, which meant that the cast and crew had to be constantly ferried to the mainland and back. Prior to Waterworld becoming a massively budgeted monster of a production, Roger Corman was initially interested in making a low-budget version for less than $3 million. Which might have been a more natural fit for the material. However, once he heard more about the vision, he correctly predicted that the budget would massively inflate and turned it down. Ultimately, the production budget for Waterworld landed at $175 million, on which it took in a worldwide lifetime theatrical gross of $264 million, though most of that came from international markets. Ultimately, it made a profit over time after video sales and rentals clocked in, despite its high budget and less than expected revenue. Waterworld has received mixed to negative reviews over the years, with views towards it softening with time. It currently holds an IMDb user rating of 6.1 out of 10, along with Rotten Tomatoes scores of 42% from critics and 43% from audiences. On to the plotopsy of the film. What went so wrong with Waterworld for it to earn its nefarious reputation? When it comes to Waterworld, I think it has always been a bit hard to look at it in an objective vacuum. The mass publicity around its budget and problematic production is impossible to look beyond for many, and it colors almost every aspect of the film. Basically, the well was poisoned by rumors and negative anticipation before the movie was even cut together. For instance, one of the aspects of the movie that got the most flack from tabloids and critics was the elaborate floating Hawaii set. For what it is worth, I actually think it looks pretty damn cool. Despite the high price tag, I think they got what they paid for. Honestly, it is kind of hard to imagine what the movie would have looked like without that set. A big issue with the film was that it was initially approved at all. The production probably shouldn't have gotten the green light to start with just because of the potential costs. If there had been some sort of plan that it allowed for a cheaper price tag, it would have made more sense. However, as mentioned, the set requirements alone put it in a precarious financial situation, and Corman was prescient to turn it down. After the initial money went into the movie, it rapidly became a sunk cost, and the production couldn't afford to not get the movie finished. As you might expect from a screenplay that went through 36 iterations, there is some really bad dialogue in Waterworld. The writing is almost certainly the weakest link in a production with its fair share of weak links. The frequent references to the title of the movie, such as the line, "Nothing's free in Waterworld," stick out like inflamed thumbs, and a number of the actors seem to struggle with their lines as they are written. For as much time and money went into the sets, effects, and actors, you would think that the producers would have made damn sure that the screenplay was strong, regardless of how much work it took. My guess is that they eventually suffered from fatigue with the numerous rewrites and settled for a version of the screenplay that wasn't quite fit to shoot and put the pressure on the director to figure things out on set. Likely as a result of that weak screenplay, Kevin Costner is just awful in this movie. He straight up flubs the deliveries on a number of his lines and just seems off balance and acharismatic throughout the film. His stoic manner and often dickish behavior to his friends and shipmates makes it hard to get behind him as the lead, which is more of a writing issue than a performance problem, but still worth noting. Something that is a bit divisive about Waterworld is its peculiar vision for the future, which has taken a lot of flack from both critics and audiences over the years. For instance, the most infamous sequence of Waterworld is by far the opening, in which Costner is shown going through the process of reclaiming water from his urine. While the sequence is a bit odd, it does establish a few things that are important later in the movie. First, fresh water is immensely scarce, to the point that urine reclamation is commonplace. Secondly, it establishes that Costner is a bit of an inventive tinkerer. The reclamation unit is clearly handcrafted and cobbled together, and foreshadows some more crucial inventions and innovations that pop up later in the flick. Last but not least, this sequence eases the audience into what business as usual looks like in this outlandish setting. Xenophobia and mistrust is high, resources are scarce, and boats are sort of personal bubbles, where the minutiae of life still carry on. Personally, I see this weird concept of Waterworld as one of the few pluses. Overall, I think that Waterworld is a real mixed bag of a movie. It is poorly paced, laden with bad dialogue, and has some unnecessary and uneven comic relief sprinkled throughout. However, it also has a cool vision behind it, some fun set pieces, and a delightfully hammy Dennis Hopper, as well as a nifty post-apocalyptic production design. As far as what went wrong with the movie, I think the biggest issue was the vision, as cool as it is, because of how expensive it was inevitably going to be. However, that should have been enough to keep it from getting approved. From that point on, the key culprit to Waterworld's failing was bad planning on the part of the producers. If they had done a better job to keep things afloat and on budget financially, then the well of public opinion would never have been poisoned, and the screenplay might have gotten the full rewrite that it needed. Some blame has to go to Kevin Reynolds as the director, but in this case, the problems boil more down to the producers than the director. Nowadays, I think that people for the most part look back on Waterworld positively, or at least not as negatively as it was initially received. Kevin Costner made far worse movies during the 1990s that lack the charming aspects or ambitious vision of Waterworld, but this flick was definitely the big, easy target at the time. It is also worth noting that Waterworld wasn't the massive financial failure people thought it was, and probably doesn't deserve to be regarded as one of the worst movies of the decade, let alone of all time. Personally, I don't think Waterworld totally succeeded, but it also didn't totally fail either. That's all for today's episode of the Plotopsy Podcast. Be sure to check out Misanthropy Movie Blog on Facebook and at misanthropy.com. And if you like the content here, please support my work on Patreon.